When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's dive in deeper on Philly and find out just what Washington is getting itself into on Sunday over in Landover, Maryland at Northwest Stadium. It's time to scout the Eagles. And to break the Eagles down for us, we've got John McMullen, Eagles Insider, SI Now in Philly. John, thanks for a few minutes. Why don't we just start with the status of A.J. Brown? Was missing some practice time. Originally, when he got hurt last week, people thought he'd be out for a little while. Then he was back in the game. How healthy is he, and will he play?
He is going to play, and he is banged up. It was interesting he got hurt last week against Pittsburgh, where a lot of people assume the Twitter doctors, the ex-doctors, had a bit of a hip-drop tackle that looked like it might have been a high ankle sprain, but that's not the issue. The issue is he tweaked his knee in practice on Thursday, so that created a little bit of concern. Was able to get out there today. Spoke to us afterwards. He said, I'm playing. So, but he's banged up, and most people are. If you make it to week 16 of the NFL season and you played a lot, you probably got something going on. So whether he's 100% or not, doubtful, but he's played through things before, and he's obviously been a very effective player.
How is the drama perceived or real? Not really seemed to affect this team at all as they've ripped off 10 straight wins, John.
Well, I think everybody, yeah, the drama was interesting only because I think it was focused on the wrong thing. I think, you know, the passing game was not nearly as effective as it had been, and it bottomed out where they had 83 net passing yards against Carolina, which is obviously not acceptable when you look at the talent that Philadelphia has. So, you know, AJ said, you know, what can get better? And he said, passing. That's all he said. And by the way, after the game, Devontae Smith said the same thing. Jalen Hurts said the same thing. Nick Sirianni, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson. And then there was a sort of Brandon Graham faux pas on the radio.
John, let me ask you real quick. Let me ask you. I bet you they didn't all say passing as a one-word answer.
No.
Like, leaving that vague was the problem. And he also, him and Hurts have had problems. We've seen him barking at him on the sideline whenever he's not catching balls. Like, it's not like the media is the big bad guy here. Like, he should do a better job speaking.
Everybody calls me the bad guy. I think it's ludicrous. It was completely self-inflicted. I agree with you, Grant. As soon as AJ said that, I said, oof, that's going to be a problem.
Right.
Because, again, if you do it contextually, and that's what Jalen Hurts did, that's what Nick Sirianni did, it's what Devontae Smith did, it's not a problem. So leaving it open-ended like that. But it turned out that wasn't even the issue. The issue was Brandon Graham went on the radio and said, Jalen and AJ were having some personal problems in their relationship. And, you know, that's the soap opera nature of that is what took off. So, look, the passing game hasn't been nearly as effective as everyone expected. And it hasn't been good at times. And with this talent that they have, despite the record, the 12-2 record, everybody's looking at this passing offense and saying, you know, what the heck is going on here?
John McMullen, SI, with us here on G&D, breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles, Washington's opponent this weekend. So, I mean, to me, I think they're just as likely to get the number one seed as anybody else. Maybe they're probably the inside track at this point. John, how important is that to them? Or is it just, let's, you know, we've done enough here, let's be healthy going into the postseason?
Oh, no, it's very important to them. The odds are against them. They don't have the inside track. They don't control their own destiny. Both Detroit and Minnesota do. If one of those two teams can win out, and obviously Detroit has so many issues injury-wise. So, but there's still a good chance because the Eagles have the latest schedule down the stretch. Washington, their only tough game on paper. So there's a possibility they could win out. If they win out, I would say they have a decent chance to get that number one seed. But this team has reached the Super Bowl twice since 2017, and both times they had the number one seed, and everything had to go through Philadelphia. So that's what they want. That's their goal. It's a very difficult place to play. But still a lot of work, and they almost have to win out to get it.
Speaking of trying to get something down the stretch, Saquon Barkley was on his way to the all-time rushing record in a single season, it looked like. But after the Steelers game, maybe Eric Dickerson is off the hook here. How likely is it that he can still make this a Week 18 storyline? Because I just love the idea of him playing the Giants.
Giants, yeah.
And having a chance to break the record.
Out. I mean, A, it has to mean something. Obviously, the Eagles have bigger goals than setting an individual rushing record. So if they're locked into the number two seed by Week 18, I can't imagine they're going to try to beat a rushing record. You know, Saquon Barkley gets hurt. I don't think they're going to approach it that way. So a lot of things have to fall into place. And he probably needs one more big game, one more 200-yard game. So if that happens against the Commanders, all of a sudden it's back in play. And I think, you know, I don't know if the Eagles even want that. I don't know if they want that pressure to try to get him this record, even though it would be cool for him and the players. And I think the franchise as a whole, I think they got much, much bigger goals than that.
Great Jalen Hurts' season overall. You touched on it in general as it associates with the drama and some of the passing game at times. But how good a year is he having? It's not that MVP candidate year of a couple years ago, but I also think it's not as bad as maybe some people are making out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's his worst season as a starter. And that goes back to 2021, his first season when they made a late run to make the playoffs. I think, you know, individually, game to game, I don't think he's had a great season. That doesn't mean he's a bad player, but I don't think he's played well compared to his demonstrated performance in the past. Certainly not close to 20. I argue he played better individually last year when they collapsed. But they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Hasn't played great. Hasn't been consistent. As I said, you had a two-week stretch where he threw for 118 yards against Baltimore and 108 yards against Carolina. It hasn't been great, guys. And I got killed for this on my show locally. He hasn't, you know, considering the talent around him, it hasn't been good at times.
I thought he was bad against Washington in the first game, especially in the first half. Like, legitimately,
yeah,
just
another game. Yeah. There were a lot of games like that, Grant. A lot of games like that.
Rusty or just kind of off. But I will say this for him, and I'm sure you can echo these sentiments better than I can, but he has not turned the ball over. I remember at the beginning of the year, you know, the thing that was hurting them a little bit was he had the two picks against Green Bay and he had four through three games. He has one interception since then. And that's like one time now in 11 games where he's been picked off, I think the numbers are. So to his credit, maybe they're not making enough plays, they're not throwing the ball downfield enough or effectively, but he is not turning the ball over, which seems like a big change from the first month.
Yeah, I think there's an unintended consequence to that. I think that was one of the things the Eagles hammered home in the bye week, and they have taken great – they protected the ball – tremendously since then. And they're 10-0, so it's hard to complain. So we're nitpicking here, but I think he's been very cautious. They drilled it into his head so much, and it's a difficult tightrope to walk because you want explosive plays, but you don't want to turn the football over. And I think he's been so cautious it's impacted the offense as a whole. And then you have the aspect of the running game, which has been historic, and the unintended consequence of that is the passing offense is atrophied a little bit. So there's always, it might seem great, but you prefer to have a little bit of a better balance, and maybe they're getting there. Certainly Pittsburgh was their best game of the season, I would say. But yeah, there's been some issues, and part of that give and take of taking, you know, such good care of the football, they've been very, very cautious in the passing game.
This Vic Fangio defense works. They're first in the NFL in terms of points allowed. They gave Washington fits the first time they played. They've been really, really impressive. What makes this group so good, and is there a weak link that maybe Washington might be able to exploit?
Boy, I don't see a weak link. I mean, the defense has been the story. It's been amazing because it wasn't supposed to be this. And, you know, I joked that when Vic Fangio got here, the reputation was so big. I said, there's no way he can live up to it. He's been better. I mean, he's been better. And so many people have copied Vic's schemes around the league, and nobody runs it as better. I don't think it's the scheme. I think it's the teaching of it, getting players up to speed. And you talk about rookie cornerbacks like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. That position's so hard to play as a rookie. People are talking about if Quinyon could ever catch a football and get an interception, he might be an all-pro. That's how well he's played. And Cooper DeJean has been one of the best slot cornerbacks in the NFL. Zach Bond has played like an all-pro at linebacker. He's never played the position before. He's an edge rusher and special teams player. The Eagles signed him for $1.6 million. He's arguably been the best linebacker in football. And then Jalen Carter has taken off and turned into, I think, what a lot of us thought he was going to be if he could, you know, mature a little bit and keep his nose clean off the field. He's just a dominating, game-wrecking player. So it's been an impressive unit and almost worse to first. They were one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season, and they're number one this season and top five in just about every quarter, every category there is.
How much talk is there about the one seed? Like, I think there's some feeling in town maybe as if, you know, you're catching Philly at a time where they've put a lot of hay in the barn, and they're coming down the stretch of a season where they're going to win the division. It would seem to me like they are going to play with a ton of urgency, and you're getting them at their peak because they can still get the one seed. But, like, what is the vibe and the tone up there in that regard?
Yeah, just I mean, they know. Both of their Super Bowl runs recently were from the one seed. So they know how important it is to keep things in Philadelphia, especially if you think about Detroit and how difficult that environment is, Minnesota, how difficult that environment is. So, yeah, as long as the number one seed is on the table, the Eagles are going to be playing. Everybody playing hard and playing the fight and get that because that's the easiest path to the Super Bowl, and they know it better than most, and they want it. The problem is there's a bunch of really good teams in the NFC, and right now, Detroit, as I said, controls their destiny. Minnesota controls their destiny. The Eagles do not. So they can't afford to lose a game.
John, if Washington wins this one, I'm not picking them to, but if they do, how did they do it?
I think you saw it in the first game, on the Thursday night game. I mean, they were leading into the fourth quarter. They were doing a solid job on Saquon. And I think Dan Quinn talked about it down there. You just got to finish. The two Saquon touchdown runs late, they were 20 seconds apart. You had the turnover. But they were less than 5 minutes on the clock. So if you think about it, 55 minutes of that game, Washington was a tip ball away, a fumble away from winning that football game. So, Jaden Daniels has got to play better. I always joke. Yeah. Vic Fangio, I'll take Vic Fangio against any young quarterback because I think he's going to throw things out that confuse young quarterbacks. It's not an insult to Jaden Daniels. I think that's anybody. I think Daniels is obviously going to be the rookie of the year. He's completely turned, helped turn that franchise around, and he's going to be a pain in the you-know-what for the, in this division for a lot of years to come. But early on, I think they made it very difficult for him. I think he was very tentative. He was very indecisive. So hopefully learn from that experience. He's got to play better. And he's just got to trust himself. Because, as I said, that's the one word that stood out to me about Jaden Daniels in that first game. He just looked tentative about everything.
John McMullen covers the Eagles for SI in Philly. Thank you for helping us scout the Eagles. We appreciate you.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, guys.